hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Inside Inter Miami, the Miami Herald show about Inter Miami. We welcome back all you Inter Miami faithful that are enjoying this early part of the season. I'm Andre Fernandez, deputy sports editor at the Herald, joined once again by our Inter Miami beat writer, Michelle Kaufman, doing the pitolero as we do every week. And, you know, a lot of stuff to talk about, including the pitolero and some happenings in these recent games. But let's start this week's show. Let's go dive right in to this Champions Cup opener, which, what a dramatic comeback, because things were looking bad early on. They salvage a 2-2 tie in Nashville, but a lot of fireworks in this game, including a pretty scary moment where I think everybody kind of held their breath and said, did we just lose the franchise? I mean, we've seen a lot in soccer how, you know, let's be honest, they take some dives, they exaggerate some injuries. This didn't look like an exaggeration when he got hit in the calf, was down for a while, even like trainers were on the field. He's gesturing toward the bench. Pretty scary moment, but it seems like Messi walked away from it not completely unscathed, but not as bad as it seemed at the beginning.
Yeah, everyone had the same. I mean, he is, you know, he's the golden goose. He's Lionel Messi. He's the best player in the world, and he's on this team, and everything is predicated on him playing with this team. So, you know, when he goes down, there are a lot of people scared. Not only the fans, coaches, teammates, but then corporate America and MLS and Apple and Adidas and everybody mm-hmm. else that he's affiliated with. You know, when he gets injured, there are ripples. There's an ocean full of ripples when Lionel Messi gets injured. So that was a very scary moment. And yes, when he went down, you know, Lucas McNaughton basically was going for a clearance, or the way he explains it, he was going for a clearance. Messi came in, you know, a little bit late trying to get to the ball. He was trying to clear the ball. His calf, you know, Messi's calf was there, and McNaughton, who's a big guy, you know, his cleats kind of went into Messi's calf. And obviously that was very painful at the moment. Messi was banging on the ground like, ow, 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 the way we do, like when we bang our pinky toe in the middle of the night or something. Yeah. You know, it's that very painful initial moment. He was definitely in pain. He was writhing in pain there, called over the trainers, and they came over, and everybody was very worried. But he ended up finishing the game. He ended up playing the rest of the game. You know, they sprayed him. He walked off the field, came back on, finished the game. You know, there is still debate going on. We are now, as we're recording this on Tuesday, the day before leg two of this very spicy rivalry, Champions Cup round of 16. There are still people debating whether that should have been a foul, whether it was intentional, whether it was a dirty play. McNaughton was asked about it today in the pregame press conference, and he was like, he basically blew it off and said, look, that is like any one of thousands of, you know, tackles that I've made in the past. It was nothing. There was nothing unusual about it. He was talking about Messi. He said he's an experienced player. He was trying to make something out of nothing, but there was nothing there. It was nothing different from what I've done a million other times before. And it was a very just a, you know, it was a clearance, and there was a collision, but it was not intentional, and he didn't feel it was a foul. I didn't think it was intentional. I mean, I just think it was in the, you know, in the moment, the way that play happened, Messi came in a little bit late getting to the ball because he was so eager to get to the ball. They were, Miami was in a difficult situation, and Messi is, as we have seen since he got here, he really wants these games. He wants these trophies. He is not here for vacation. He's intense. And we, you mentioned before, earlier in the game, Godoy, I believe, got into it or knocked into Redondo or one of the young players, and Luis Suarez and Messi just went in his face, Godoy. I mean, you know, first Suarez and then Messi gets in there, and Messi was like with his index finger in the guy's face, which is something you just don't see that often. But
he gave him a little, Messi, you know who I am? Like a little,
yes. You know. Yes, yeah. You know who I am, you know, and he was still talking to him after mm-hmm. Godoy walked away. Messi was still like following him, and they were like, you know, they were having some words there. You know, Messi and Suarez have both shown they can be fiery, more fiery than you would think from Messi. And So anyway, yeah, that game, that first game was, it was really tough. You know, Nashville, Miami, my opinion, is the best rivalry that Miami has. You know, people talk about Orlando because it's in the same state and all that. And that's true. There's the interstate thing. There's always the Orlando and Miami, you know, off the field stuff. But on the field, I would say that the matchup between between Inter Miami and Nashville has become really the most interesting and exciting matchup, because they've basically, the last three times, they've ended in ties. So right. Two times ago last summer in the League's Cup final, they ended up in a tie and have to go 10-9 penalty kicks to decide that one. A few weeks after that, it ends up in a 0-0 draw. And then again, this game ends up 2-2. So These teams are very, very evenly matched. And to be honest, this type of team that Nashville is, it gives Miami problems, because they are a team, as we discussed last week, they are a team that likes to, I don't want to say park the bus, but they are defensive, you know, they're very organized defensively, very compact and organized defensively. And they are, seem to be perfectly fine playing for a tie. They're not always just sending players in waves the way Miami does. So when Miami does that, Tata's sending everybody forward, when they play five and back, which is what he did again the other day, and there's been debate about that too, is really they seem to be better with four and back. Tata got asked about it again today. He kept saying, he said today again, that with DeAndre Yedlin out, they don't have a natural right back, and so they had to make some improvisations, and they had to adjust. And so with the five and back, though, what happens is when the two guys in the back go forward, then you have three guys in back, and the two center defensive midfielders are not so fast. They're not exactly speedsters, Sergio Busquets nor Redondo, although Redondo is very energetic and runs a lot box to box, but he's not a speedster, and neither is Busquets. So when everyone is going forward, if they get the ball, if Nashville gets the ball on the counter in transition, there are some wide open spaces in Miami's field that the other teams seem to exploit. And that is an issue that they really need to figure out a way to clean that up, because that is where they are getting punished. And the other day, you know, very early in the game, which we've seen before with this team, they got punished early
twice.
On. Twice. And on set pieces, by the way, set piece, I asked him today about set piece defense. I asked Drake Callender and Tata, because they gave up two goals on set pieces, that were, easy. I mean, not easy. No goal is easy. And you have to give Nashville, of course, all the credit.
But defensible, probably.
But defensible. Right. There were guys who were left unmarked, guys who should have been marked, who were not marked. And Drake said it's all a matter of communication and concentration and knowing what zone you're supposed to be in and who you're supposed to be covering. And there seemed to be some definitely confusion, dysfunction, disorganization going on, especially early in the game. And you can't allow a team like Nashville those kind of openings, because they will take advantage. They have very good players on that team, and that team has given Miami fits every time they play. So, you know, it's a really interesting matchup, and the emotions are going to be high again tomorrow for the second leg because of all these things we said. They're still debating. McNaughton is getting skewered on on social media from fans around the world, because how dare you? You cannot touch the Messiah.
No,
you
no.
cannot touch Lionel no. Messi. You know, what are you doing? Who are you? Lucas McNaughton. Who the heck are you? Who are you? Lucas McNaughton and Godoy. What are you doing touching our players?
How dare you?
So, how dare you? And the thing is, some of these teams now in MLS are like, you know what? We're over it. Yeah, Messi's great. Boosie, Messi,
sense.
Jordy, this is all great. But we've already played them three times and we've tied them three times. So don't think that we are not, you know, able to beat this team. Don't think that we don't belong in the field with them. They are not unbeatable. They're mortal. They are mortal. They are human. And Nashville has shown that three times. And now, you know, Miami has the edge with the tiebreakers, which I'm going to explain now very clearly.
I'm glad you're doing this because remember last week we wanted to do that. We wanted to give people an idea, if especially now with a tie, where if we have another tie, then what happens?
Well, it depends on the score. So everybody pay attention. Everyone, this is like I'm a school teacher. Take out your notebook.
That's right.
Take out your take out your spiral notebook and take notes, because the rules, the tie-breaking rules for this tournament are kind of unique right now to this tournament. This is, most tournaments are not run this way. So let me explain what's going to happen. Away goals. Away goals is the number one tiebreaker when there's a tie. Mm. So right now, Inter Miami has two away goals and Nashville has two home goals. The home goals, goals don't mean as much. Away goals, that's what you want. Miami has two goals away from home. Nashville has two less meaningful goals at home. So now they enter this game tied on the aggregate score of 2-2. However, Miami with the edge as getting the road goals. So if this game, if the game on Wednesday ends in a 0-0 tie, Miami advances, because Miami would have two away goals. If the game ends in a 1-1 tie, Miami would advance also, because then Miami would have two away goals. Nashville would have one away goal. Is everyone still with me?
Are you
still
with me? But here comes the big one. If it's 2-2 and that away goals tiebreaker is out the window, then
if
what?
It's 2-2 and both teams then have two goals away from home, then they do two 15-minute extra time periods. Whoa. If they play, and then if it's still tied after that, then they go to PKs.
Wow, we know, if the reenactment of that League's Cup, it's going to be a great one.
If they go to PKs, buckle your seatbelts, everybody, okay? And then if it ends up 3-3, bye-bye Miami.
Right.
If it ends up 3-3, Nashville then has the three goals away from home, and Miami has two goals away from home.
So in a sense, the pressure is on Nashville to score and score a lot just in case going into this game.
Yes, Nashville has to score a lot because Miami, again, Miami can advance with a 0-0. Right. Miami can advance with a 1-1.
Right.
Miami, in essence, with a 2-2, if they were to win the extra time or the PKs, they could advance with that. Right. Nashville needs to score goals. And again, that is why this game, the beginning of this game is going to be critical, because if they do, if Miami does one of these, you know, lollygagging at the beginning of the game and giving them opportunity in the first 5-10 minutes, they are going to take advantage. Correct. And they need to score goals, and they have players who can score goals for sure. They've shown that.
Very interesting contrast too, though, when we're talking about Nashville needs to score. When Nashville, as you said, such a defensive-minded team, it's almost like a little bit out of their element, in the sense of now they have to probably commit to score. Let's say they find themselves in a 0-0 draw with 20 minutes left. They can't pack it in. They can't play that style they like to play.
Right, right. Yeah, so tactically, it's going to be a chess match. All of this, to be honest, everything going on right now is a chess match between these coaches too, even as far as who each coach played in this recent MLS game this weekend. They both rotated. Both teams rotated their rosters. Both teams prioritized this game, Champions Cup, over the game that they just played in the league, which is, again, something that fans are debating. But the way Tata explained it, we just saw. So let's go to the Montreal game for a minute, okay? And then I want to talk about the philosophy of sitting all the players that sat for that game. And Nashville also sat players. The thing is, so they go and play Miami. Miami plays Montreal here at home that on Sunday. That game was sandwiched in between the two games of Champions Cup, right in the middle. So Messi sat out altogether. He had a bruise on his calf from that kick, but that's not really why he sat out. He sat out to rest. He was, you know, and Tata said that this was discussed a week before. They had discussed the whole scenario and said, when does it make sense in this jam-packed section of a 12-day, four-game section of the season. Four games, 12 days. So, you know, basically one game every 3 days. What do they do with Messi and with all these other players? They decided that this Montreal game was the one that made sense to rest, okay? It's the one that sandwiched between the two Champions Cup games. It was at home. And also, the way Tata explained it today in detail is that, look, they want to win all the cups. He didn't say we want to win Champions Cup more than we want to win MLS Cup. He said we want to win all the cups. But the MLS season goes on a long, 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 long time, all the way until the end of November and beginning of December for the MLS Cup final. We are in March here, in beginning of March. So in what he said is there is room for error with the early MLS games. They felt like they're already in first place in the MLS standings. They're doing well. They had scored 10 goals, whatever. And there is room for them to make a mistake. There's room for error at the beginning of the season with the MLS season, because that season is going to go on for many, 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 many months. Right. And there are many, many, many more games in a 34-game season. The Champions Cup, he said, there is no room for error in this game Wednesday. There is no room for error because this is the decisive game already right here. It's a round of 16. If they advance from the Wednesday game, if they advance, they go into the quarterfinals of this tournament. This is a $5 million tournament with $5 million on the line, plus a spot in the World Club Championship next year, World Cup of Clubs next summer, which is being held in the United States. So the way he explained it is right now, Champions Cup took priority this week because this is now a do or die game for us. The Montreal game was not a do or die game. Of course, they want to win every game. Of course, they want to win the MLS Cup, but they know that they have to all the way until November. And with the Champions Cup, they need to do it right now. So that is why the priority this week was to rest Messi. Not only Messi, he sat out altogether. He was in his Hawaiian shirt sitting in the stands with his family. But we had Sergio Busquets on the bench. We had Suarez on the bench. And we had Freire on the bench and Gomez on the bench. There were five players on the bench with Messi not even playing at all from the starting lineup of the week before. Nice. So all those guys rested. The other guys came in later in the game in the 66th minute, 70th minute. They came in because they were needed. And by the way, the game definitely, you know, changed when those subs came in. When you bring in Busquets, all of a sudden everything changes. When you bring in Sergio Busquets, everything changes. When you bring in Luis Suarez, everything changes. And Freire did better than Christophe was doing in the back at center back. So those guys were rested so that they would be at full strength for this game against Nashville Wednesday night. That was the thinking.
It makes sense because, you know, the MLS season is the marathon. These are more of the sprint types. It's quick. It's single, in most cases, single elimination or, you know, maybe one, two games that you could afford to drop and that's it. In this case, you're in an aggregate situation where practically every goal counts. So it makes perfect sense. This is all part of the juggling act we were talking about how they're going to manage being in the MLS season while playing in these three or four other tournaments at the same time. And we're seeing
and the
how,
other team is too.
Seeing it out now.
And the
yeah,
other
exactly.
Team is
Everybody
too.
Is.
Yeah, and Nashville
Everybody.
Is too. Nashville, right. The teams that are the best teams, you know, the teams that are not in this tournament don't have to juggle this. But the teams that are in the Champions Cup is because they're there for a reason. Those teams qualified for Champions Cup for a reason. So it's going to be the Nashville, the Miami, those teams that won a cup before or did something to qualify for these other events. They are, when they play each other, like they're playing each other now, both Tata Martino and Gary Smith, they are playing a chess match. They both had to decide who are they going to play in their league games over the weekend. Now, both coaches are going to have to decide how are we going to approach this next game tactically. Gary Smith, am I going to play our team the way we always do? Or like you said, are we going to be more attacking than we usually do because we are in need of goals, because we are essentially behind Miami in the tiebreaker at the moment. So it's going to be really, really interesting. And Gary Smith is a very good coach and a very, you know, tactical coach. His teams are very disciplined and they have a very specific style how they play. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this chess match plays out on Wednesday night at 8:15, by the way.
Yeah, on Apple TV, right?
No, not on Apple TV, on
FS2. I'm sorry.
FS2.
But,
yeah,
I mean, it's very interesting too. Going back, I know we didn't jump into that too much, but how organically this has turned into a rivalry, because, you know, like you said, I mean, the Orlando's easy to say because the in-state, but you wondered if there was going to be a team that is kind of they're like the manifestation of how the MLS teams are kind of maybe sick of all the hoopla and are like, we're going to take it to them. Screw this, for lack of a better way. Who cares? You know, these guys, we can beat them. We've shown we can. So this is going to be a very interesting, even though it's only the round of 16, this is going to have a little bit of a championship feel to it, just because the intensity that this Nashville team has now whenever they play Inter Miami. And it's going to be interesting down the road too, because if these two were to
meet at some point, they're gonna face each other again.
Not only in the regular season, but what if in the postseason down the road?
Right. And that's what this league needs. I mean, honestly, this league, it's a newer league. Well, it's not so new, but this team is new. Nashville, both of these teams came in together, by the way. Nashville and Miami entered the league at the same time. So they are natural rivals for many reasons. They both entered the league at the same time, and Nashville had success far before Miami had success. So, and that was a team that did not have all the stars, but they had a very, very specific system that they played, and they had a little bit of a background having had, you know, minor league teams before. So, you know, this is exactly what Inter Miami needs, some real rivals. Yes, everybody's a rival when they're playing Miami, because Miami has the big pink and black, you know, target on the back. They have the Lionel Messi is on the team, and everybody wants to beat that team. But it's good for Miami to have a team that you look forward to when they're going to play this specific team, because they've had so many good games in the past. And that's what's happening with this team. Neither team has been able to dominate the other team. All three games have been extremely close, ended in ties. And this one now, you know, is going to be like the League's Cup final in a way. It cannot end in a tie. This is a decisive game. This is a decisive do or die game. I guess it can end in a tie, 0-0, 1-1, Miami will advance. But if it gets to 2-2, you know, they're going to have to play on the way they did in the League's Cup. So it's a game that everyone should be looking forward to. I think it's, you know, it's also a chance for people who don't have Apple, who don't have the subscription to the MLS Season Cup, MLS Season Pass, they can watch on FS2 and on Teo de N in Spanish. So it's going to be available to a lot of viewers who maybe don't normally get to watch the games on Apple because they don't have an Apple device or they don't have Apple subscription. They can watch on FS2 and on TUDN in Spanish. So, you know, it's really an opportunity for both of these teams to showcase the rivalry that they have.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I guess the burning question then is, I mean, what did you from practice today? Looks like Messi's going to play. I know they held him back, and you mentioned the rotational reasons and things like that, but is he okay as far as...
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, Tata, I asked him point blank, do you expect Messi to play and all the starters like normal? Yes. He said, everybody's healthy, everybody's ready to go. That was his answer. Everybody's healthy, everybody's ready to go. Yeah, I think you're going to get the best of both teams, although one thing... that is will be a factor. Walker Zimmerman, who is, you know, the anchor of the Nashville defense, U.S. national team guy, a huge player on that team. He's going to be out. According to Gary Smith, he is out injured from the collision that he had with Diego Gomez. He had a collision in the game against Miami, and apparently he is injured and is not going to play tomorrow. And he is a very critical part of their back line. So that is one position where Nashville is going to look different from how they looked against Miami. That's the only player that I think is going to be missing from, you know, from the two teams. I think otherwise you're going to get the best of both teams for sure in this game.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Let's see if they can resolve some of those defensive issues that they've had that unfortunately showed themselves again against Montreal as well. And in this game especially, the pressure's on to that defense because, like we said before, can't allow those goals to Nashville. I mean, we're here talking in tie scenarios, but obviously they can't allow them to score anyway because if it's 1-0, then forget about all those tiebreakers. They're out at that point. So
yeah, if they lose, if they lose.
If they lose, it doesn't matter.
They nothing, they're up. Yeah. If they lose one, if Nashville scores one and Miami scores zero, it's over. Miami
goes or vice versa. Exactly. So.
Yes. Yeah. Miami's done. So, so it's in the matter of the ties, who has more goals and the onus right now is on Nashville to score, which means the onus is on the Miami defense to make sure they don't score. And they have not done such an excellent job of that in the last few games. Beginning of the season, they had. They were doing very, very well in the first few games, and beating Orlando 5-0 and everything. But the last couple of games, they've been exposed. And, Yedlin has been missing. And they don't have a natural right back. So they've been a little bit exposed, not a little bit, a lot exposed on defense in these last two games. And they're going to have to clean that up. They're going to have to clean that up because they gave up 3 goals to Montreal and lost that game. And yes, there were guys sitting and it was not the full starting lineup, but still those goals could have been avoided if they had played well in the back.
Right. Well, what's the latest I would say on Matias Rojas? I know they're waiting on clearance from the FIFA to see if he can come over from Corinthians. Was anything new develop on that front?
Yes, we keep asking about that because according to my sources, who are very excellent sources, that it's basically a done deal as far as he and the team go. He is ready to go, has agreed to terms, and even I believe even has a visa, would be ready to like come over and boom, be ready. We asked Tata about it today. What is the situation on the Paraguayan midfielder he's been with Corinthians in Brazil, just to recap. He's been in Corinthians with Brazil, but had a big dispute, a contract dispute with them. Apparently they owed him a bunch of money. Supposedly the money was more, not necessarily salary, but image and likeness money that he had been promised that he was not getting. He got very angry. They got into a dispute and they basically have parted ways, which means he would be a free agent. And if it's a free agent, then Miami can sign him. What Tata said today is that they are waiting for FIFA clearance. FIFA has to officially say that he is cleared from his contract with Corinthians and that he is a free agent. That designation has to come from FIFA, and that is what Inter Miami is waiting for. Tata said as soon as they get that clearance, he will be playing for us. That is what he said. So it's not a matter of if he's going to come. It's a matter of if he is deemed a free agent, and FIFA declares that, yes, he is out of his contract with Corinthians and that is all legal and kosher and everything else, then he will be joining Inter Miami. That still doesn't clear up the right back situation. They are looking at a couple of different right backs. There was one guy they were looking from Boca Juniors, but apparently Boca Juniors wanted $1 million, a transfer fee, which Miami does not have. So they are talking to Tata, confirmed today that their number one priority is to replace Yedlin with a true right back. They don't have anyone who's a true right back. They can either play Gressel back there. Gressel has played right back and even played right back for Tata with Atlanta. But Tata likes to play him better in midfield for whatever reason. He wants someone else at right back. So they have a couple of people in mind that they're talking to at right back. And then they're supposed to get Matias Rojas. So that would be 2 new players. They have until mid-April, I believe April 13th, is when the MLS transfer window closes. So they have a few more weeks, almost a month really, to sign a few more players if they decide to do that.
Perfect. And let's finish the show talking a little bit. But before we wanted to jump in and look at what's past the Champions Cup game, since it's before our next episode, talking about that road trip to DC. But before we do that, how about Phil Neville? Portland.
Phil Neville. Portland Timbers, they were not happy. The Portland fans were not happy with that hire at the beginning. They complained that he had posted a, you know, sexist tweet 12 years ago, and they dredged that up. And you know, it was he had a rough beginning as far as from a PR standpoint. There were some fans, they have very rabid fans over there. They wanted, you know, I believe, you know, they had other people in mind that they thought would have been better, and they were not thrilled with the hire of Phil Neville. However, right now I'm not hearing much complaining from Portland, because the Portland Timbers are in first place in the West, and they were about to lose the other day in New York and scored two goals, I believe, in the last 5 minutes or in stoppage time or something. It was like two goals in a very short period of time at the very end of the game to win that game. So they are in first place with 7 points in the West, and Miami remains tied in first place in the East, but with tiebreakers, with more goals scored in the East, also with 7 points. So right now, the number, if you look at the MLS standings right now, the top of the East is Miami. The top of the West is Portland Timbers with yep. Phil Neville, the former Miami coach. So again, it is so early in the season. It's only March. But what a dream final would it be if wow. Phil Neville gets fired from Inter Miami and goes to Portland, where they didn't even really want him, some of the fans. And then what if he leads them to the MLS Cup final and they wow. end up playing Lionel Messi and all his friends? That would be just the dream scenario for Apple TV and for me and for the fans. It would be really an unbelievable story. It would be, that would be a storybook ending. But yes, Phil Neville doing very well. And I also want to bring up Lewis Morgan for those people being nostalgic about former Inter Miami personnel. Lewis Morgan, who was a real fan favorite when he was with Inter Miami, really good winger who was a great guy and a great player. He is with the Red Bulls, scored the game winner for the last two games. The past two games, Lewis Morgan scored the game winner for New York Red Bulls, and Miami plays them the week after next. So he's playing really, really well for them, and he's going to be facing Inter Miami in less than two weeks.
Well, it's okay to dream in this league. I mean, Messi's here playing for Inter Miami. I mean, I don't think there's any bounds anymore.
Who would have thought that?
Much you can look into the horizon.
I would have never thought that. Yeah, absolutely. That fairy tale, if you know, when you told me, when Jorge Mas used to say to me, Michelle, mark my words, it's going to be an epic summer. Epic. It's going to be an epic summer. And I was like, sure. And then he ended up signing here. So who knows? Miami versus Phil Neville and the Portland Timbers in the MLS final. That would be quite a story.
That's way down. We're looking way ahead.
With the binoculars.
Right. With a telescope at this point. But we're gonna reel it back at this point and go.
Let's get back to the microscope.
Slightly look ahead to this DC United road trip, and thoughts on that game, and you know, looking past this Champions Cup duel, which we don't want to look past it, but just to give people a taste, since we are going to be back next week after that DC game, what is Inter Miami facing in that one?
Yeah. Well, the DC game, it's a game on the road. DC is, you know, improved. They had a really rough year last year. They're definitely improved. Of course, they're going to be fired up to be playing against Miami. Now, Miami's going to be coming off this Champions Cup game against Nashville. So we'll see. We won't know until after the Champions Cup game if everybody's healthy. Does anybody have any knocks? Is anybody, you know, unable to play the next game? So it remains to be seen. It remains to be seen how they're going to look against DC, but it's going to come pretty quickly because this game is on Wednesday night, and then they travel Friday, and they play at DC on Saturday, and then the following week they play at New York Red Bulls. So they have two road games. Of course, everybody wants to beat Miami. They're probably going to have really full stadiums or close to full stadiums if people can afford the tickets. So, you know, that's going to be a really good match, I would think, on Saturday. That one will be on Apple. And it's at 2:00. It's an afternoon game. And the other thing I wanted to mention, by the way, we hadn't discussed if Miami wins, if Miami advances on Wednesday from Champions Cup round of 16, who do they play next? They would play the winner of the other series that's going on now, the other tie, which is going on between Cincinnati and Monterrey of Mexico. And Monterrey is in first place right now in the lead with a 1-0 win in the first matchup. They won 1-0. So now they play on Thursday. So we have to wait. If Miami advances on Wednesday, we find out the opponent on Thursday, either Monterrey, which is the Mexican team, or Cincinnati, which is, again, a team that Miami played in the U.S. Open Cup, a very close matchup also with Cincinnati, another good rival for them. And those games would be in early April. The first game would be somewhere between the April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And then the next week, the 8th, 9th, 10th of April would be the second game. So we don't know yet who's home and away, but the dates would be April 2nd, 3rd, 4th for the first game, April 8th, 9th, 10th for the second game. And the opponent is TBA, Cincinnati, or Monterrey.
Right. So catch it. Get ready now for this next round, if it does happen. But in the meantime, two big tests. And, you know, I can't wait for this Nashville matchup because, like you said, this is a budding rivalry in this league that we may not have even seen. And that's saying something. We've seen some good chapters already between them, but we might be in store for some more thrillers in the near future, possibly starting Wednesday.
I really think especially with the finger pointing with Godoy. Yeah. And the Lucas McNaughton, the whole debate that's going on social media right now between the Lucas McNaughton. I mean, Lucas McNaughton is going to be out there on Wednesday night defending Lionel Messi again. And Lucas McNaughton has gone on record now to say that the GOAT was kind of making much ado about nothing and trying to make something out of nothing or whatever, that it was really no big deal. Mm-hmm. So that, believe me, the word will get back to Mr. Messi that this is all being discussed and debated. And so you know, now that we've seen Lionel Messi up close, do you think he's going to want to dribble around Lucas McNaughton and score in his face? Yes, he is. And do you think Lucas McNaughton is going to want to stop Lionel Messi? Yes, he will. So
I think there's a lot of people that want to see Messi. Yeah, there's a lot of people who want to see Messi dribble over Lucas McNaughton like he did the other player in the opener.
On the ground.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm saying. They're building up, you know, when Messi first got here and Jordi and Busquets and Suarez, they don't really know the other players. They don't have any history. One of the great things about sports, which is one of the reasons I love being a sports writer, is the stories, the backstories of the games and the players and the rivalries. That's what makes it so interesting is they are now developing some history. They had no history when they got here. They've never played against Nashville. They never played against Orlando. They never played against Cincinnati, New York, Dallas, LAFC, LA Galaxy. Now they're playing against these teams and there is some history and there is some rivalries bubbling. Yeah. Brewing, and definitely there's some bad blood. There's some bad blood, and some of those guys are probably like, okay, he's messy, but you know, I'm not going to be in awe of him. Screw that. We're gonna show him. We're gonna show the Messi, Busquets, Alba, the Mount Rushmore. We're gonna show people that there's more to watch in MLS than just those four players. They're gonna be highly motivated. Their coach is a very good coach. And I think this is budding into a really, really good rivalry, which we're going to see on Wednesday night.
Yeah, a lot of them are probably like, you know, as much as famous as they are, you know what? They haven't won bleep here, so we're the ones that have to stop them. So that's the motivation for them and every other team in the league to make sure doesn't happen. But we'll see. We will have a full recap for these games, and this one and the DC game, and a look ahead to potentially the next round of Champions Cup if Inter Miami finds a way through this Wednesday. And then if not, we'll still look ahead at what's coming up after the DC game in the MLS season and beyond. But again, we're much appreciative as always to have you watch us and listen to us. And remember, you can catch us either on Apple, Spotify, whichever podcatcher you like, or watch us here at MiamiHerald.com or on YouTube. For Michelle Kaufman, I'm Andre Fernandez, doing the Pistolero thing again, and we will see you once again next week on another episode of Inside Inter Miami. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Enjoy the game.